Small wonder that the poor Gazette drooped so forlornly. Even in the cities, reading was a rare talent. And here in the little sheep-farming town of Grabley, none of the inhabitants could read the tiniest tittle. The rain washed people, stalls, and barrows from the market square, leaving only that one figure, like a particularly stubborn stain. Drips fell from the tip of a pointed nose, beneath a drooping bonnet with a frayed brim, hair spiked and straggled like a tempest-tossed blackbird's nest. An olive-green dress, two sizes too big, was hitched at the waist and daubed knee-high in thick yellow mud. And behind the clinging strands of damp hair, two large black eyes glistened like coal, and gave the marketplace a look that spoke of coal's grit, griminess, and hidden fire. This shivering, clenched-jawed scrap of damp doggedness had a name, and that name was Mosca Mai. Mosca meant fly, a housefly name well suited to one born on an evening sacred to Palpitattle, he who keeps flies out of jams and butter churns. It was a name that would have been recognised in her home village, where a number of people would have had questions to ask about the burning of a mill, the release of a notorious felon, and the theft of a large and savage goose. In Mandylion, a city port to the west, a well-informed few would have known her name, and how it fitted into the tale of conspiracy, murder, river battles, and revolution that had turned the city upside down and shaped it anew. 3 months had now passed since the gates of Mandylion closed behind Mosca. Those 3 months had brought in winter, eaten the soles of her shoes to a paper thinness, pinched her cheeks, emptied her purse, and, most importantly of all, used up her last ounce of patience with her travelling companion. Mosca! A faint, querulous voice sounded behind her, rather like that of a dying great aunt.
If you do not wish me to perish from want, you might try to use a little charm. The flower girls manage to coo or sing their wares. They do not shriek like an attacking hawk.
The voice came from a narrow barred window set in the wall of the debtor's prison. Peering in, Mosca could just make out a ponderous figure lying in its shirt sleeves upon a bed of straw. The man in question had allowed a tragic and injured expression to settle upon his plump face, as if it was he and not Mosca who was braving the elements. His coat, wig, and pocket watch chain had all been sold, leaving his much-patched waistcoat on display. Eponymous Clent, poet extraordinaire, word wizard laureate, and eternal bane of all those mean-minded enough to expect him to pay his bills. Once upon a time, Mosca had thought it a good idea to continue travelling with him instead of settling in Mandylion. They shared a love of words, a taste for adventure, and a dubious relationship with the truth. But such common ground can take two people only so far, and it was starting to seem as if it would take them to Grabley and no further.
"What's your charm done for us, Mr. Clent?" snapped Mosca through her teeth. "Why don't you charm your way out of that cell? Why don't you charm us some dinner?"
"She mocks me," murmured Clent, with a maddening air of stoic forgiveness. "It is her nature. Those of tottering intellect and meagre spirit always turn against their best friends and protectors as soon as they face real hardship. She cannot help it, Fates." He sighed.
"Madam, you might reflect upon the fact that you at least have your liberty."
"Yeah, it's lovely out here."
Mosca glared up at the lowering sky of her liberty.
"If I was any freer, I'd have influenza already."
"Or," Clent continued with a hint of bitterness, "you might reflect on the reason I find myself thus incommoded. After all, you would insist on bringing him into this accursed town." Mosca made a crab-apple face. But here, sadly, Clent had a point. If it had not been for her, Saracen would not have been with them. For a good deal of her childhood, Saracen had been the orphaned Mosca's only friend and ally. And so she had taken him with her when she fled her damp and miserable home village. Since then, she had resisted all